Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know that you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and today, the diagnosis, the carbohydrate conundrum. To eat or not eat, that is the question. You know, a recent study, a meta-analysis of over 750,000 people drawn from over 14 different studies, examined the role of whole grain consumption in maintaining health. Now, specifically, the researchers looked at the rates of total mortality, cardiovascular mortality, and cancer mortality with respect to consumption of whole grain servings. They compared those who consumed the most to those who consumed the least. But such research sometimes causes more confusion and controversy than it answers, especially as other recent data seems to indicate high carbohydrate consumption as a dietary regimen to be avoided. It is something reflected in the current media buzz that the popularity of approaches like the paleo diet highlight. Here in the confusing collection of carbohydrate conditions, definition makes a difference in being able to wade through the data and the distraction. Firstly, what exactly is a whole grain? Well, according to the Whole Grains Council, and I quote, whole grains or foods made from them contain all the essential parts and naturally occurring nutrients of the entire grain seed in their original proportions. If the grain has been processed, including cracked, crushed, rolled, extruded, and/or cooked, the food product should deliver the same rich balance of nutrients that are found in the original grain seed. This definition means that 100% of the original kernel, all the bran, germ, and endosperm, must be present to qualify as a whole grain, end quote. Now, we must pay attention because whole grain is not the same thing as multigrain or the ever misleadingly popular 12 grain. These terms actually have no legal meaning and just suggest the presence of more than one grain type, all of which may be refined flours. The same is true for the term wheat flour. This is really just a clever way to market refined wheat flour. Both bleached and unbleached wheat flour are, yes, you guessed it, refined white flour. If the package reads just wheat bread, it is likely made from a majority, if not entirely, from refined wheat flour. Likewise, made with whole grains and multigrain may be manufactured predominantly with white flour. Products that carry the phrase high in fiber may actually have had fiber additives like carboxymethylcellulose or CMC, maltodextrin, or other compounds added during the manufacturing process. The phrase that means something, in the U.S. at least, because it does vary by country, is whole wheat or whole grain whole wheat. These phrases imply that you are receiving whole grain wheat products. Refining is in fact a process that normally removes the bran and the germ, leaving only the endosperm. Removing the endosperm removes fatty acids and thus significantly increases shelf life. However, without the bran and germ, about 25% of the grain's protein is also lost, and the remaining product is greatly reduced in at least 17 key nutrients. Now, processors can add back some vitamins and minerals to supplement refined grains. So refined products labeled enriched, while they can still contribute valuable nutrients. However, they often remain inferior to whole grains in terms of protein, fiber, and many, many important vitamins and minerals. All grain products contain carbohydrates. Refined wheat flour products, since they contain mostly endosperm, are predominantly carbohydrate in composition. And carbohydrates can be defined chemically as a neutral compound of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And carbohydrates come in simple forms such as sugars and in complex forms such as starches and fibers. Now, all simple carbohydrates are by definition sugars. These carbohydrates are made of just one or two sugar molecules. They are a quick source of energy, and they are very quickly digested. This can lead to a rapid rise in blood sugar levels after ingestion, and why such foods high in such sugars generally have what we term a high glycemic index, or GI. Now, complex carbohydrates are larger compounds and consist of both starches and fiber. And fiber comes in the form of insoluble and soluble. Fruits and vegetables are the leading dietary sources of the very important soluble fiber. And along with whole grains, beans, pulses, legumes, nuts, and seeds, such foods supply the soluble and insoluble fiber required not only for our gastrointestinal health, but the health of our gut microbiome as well. Now, whole grains may be eaten whole, cracked, split, or ground. They can be milled into a flour or used to make bread, cereals, or other processed foods. If a food label states that the package contains whole grain, the whole grain part of the food inside that package is required to have the same proportions of bran, germ, and endosperm as the harvested kernel does before it is processed. Make sure you use this as a guide and look for this when you're sourcing your foods. The recent research paper conducted a whole grains meta-analysis and showed an impressive benefit to including such comestibles as part of a healthful dietary tactic. Many indigenous diets and approaches like the Mediterranean diet emphasize these wholesome, authentic foods over highly processed ones. The group eating the most whole grains, compared to the group consuming the least, reduced their overall mortality rate by 16%. They were 12% less likely to die from cancer and 18% less likely to die from cardiovascular disease. Interestingly, another recent study looking at barley, a Mediterranean staple, showed that it significantly reduced two different forms of LDL, or bad cholesterol. Each 16 gram per day serving of whole grains, an amount which is considered a daily serving, reduced total mortality by 7%, cancer mortality by 5%, and cardiovascular mortality by 9%. The highest consumers ate three or more servings per day. In other studies, whole grains have also been shown to significantly reduce the incidence of stroke and type 2 diabetes. The current dietary guidelines for Americans recommends at least three servings per day of whole grain intake. Including such grains in the diet does not always require the consumption of gluten either. Gluten is found in wheat, all varieties, barley, rye, and triticale, which is a rye-wheat hybrid. That gluten-free meat and cheese lunch combo should be gluten-free without paying an extra dime for it. It's a bit like charging you extra for water with ice. Other options that are gluten-free include some seeds, but since they're often prepared and consumed like grains, they're usually included with them. Using sprouted flours or methods like sourdough fermentation can also decrease the gluten content, although not completely eradicate it. Remember, governmental standards only require that, and I quote, "In general, foods may be labeled gluten-free if they meet the definition and otherwise comply with the final rule's requirements. More specifically, the final rule defines gluten-free as meaning that the food is either inherently gluten-free or does not contain an ingredient that is 1. A gluten-containing grain, 2. Derived from a gluten-containing grain that has not been processed to remove the gluten, 3. Derived from a gluten-containing grain that has been processed to remove the gluten, wheat starch, if the use of that ingredient results in the presence of 20 parts per million or more gluten in food. Also, any avoidable presence of gluten in the food must be less than 20 parts per million." End quote. So you see, gluten-free, a voluntary labeling, is less than 20 parts per million, not zero. A partial gluten-free list includes amaranth, buckwheat, corn, millet, quinoa, rice, wild rice, sorghum, teff, and oats. Although many prepackaged and pre-prepared oat products contain a gluten warning because there's a cross-contamination in the plants where they are manufactured. Our diet, like our lives, needs balance. And in the addition or subtraction to make it so, remember to keep it forever delicious. At the end, it is a taste of the experience that lingers and seals the memory. And that's a diagnosis. You're listening to Code Delicious on Radio MD with Dr. Mike.